Today we come to the second part of our study on the nature of Paul's prayer request based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. To learn more, we invite you to join with us for today's study. The Christ who had conquered death and sin on the cross of Calvary, which was testified by his resurrection. And on the road to Damascus, as he meets Jesus Christ, Christ confronts him. Not only is Paul converted, but Paul is called to the office of apostle, one who was sent. And Jesus very clearly teaches that Paul is going to be an individual that will take his name even to the point of preaching before kings. And not only would he proclaim the message, but he would also suffer greatly in that ministry of proclaiming the gospel. Also, as we read through the book of Acts, which gives us an account of Paul's ministry, we know that he was very faithful in fulfilling this commission, in fulfilling his role as an apostle, a missionary, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming it. But sometimes as we look through these narratives, we may get the idea that Paul was some type of superhuman Christian, that he was never fearful, that he never got discouraged, that he sort of just left off pain. But we have to keep in mind that Paul was a man. Now, there's no doubt that he is probably the closest that any human being has ever gotten to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ, but he was still a sinner and he was still a man. Sometimes whenever we look at these narratives, we might get the idea that he was a rather strong, massive individual. But a lot of historians seem to think that Paul's physical stature was not very impressive, that in some cases he might have even been what we would naturally refer to as a weakling. Now, no doubt he was a giant intellectually, but physically, it seems that he may have actually been on the weaker side. But yet, with the Lord's providence, the Lord's sustaining grace and power, and with his great faith, he was able to persevere through these things to remain faithful. We may even get the idea that because of his boldness in other incidents, that he had a natural commanding demeanor and was not fearful at all. But yet on one occasion, he says that when he came to them, he came with fear and trembling. So I don't think that it was so much that he was without fear as it was that his faith in Christ, what Christ had done for him, what Christ had called him to do, was so powerful that it enabled him, it gave him the confidence, the strength to remain faithful and bold, even in those circumstances where he was no doubt at least somewhat fearful, but was able to overcome his fear. So in what is said here, he seems to recognize his frailty and the very real possibility that he was dependent upon the strength and power of Christ and also the strength and power of prayer. When he says, "And for me," to bring attention to himself regarding this was not a sense of selfishness, but I think in some sense a sign of the weakness of his humanity and his need for prayer of his fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That he was susceptible to fear. He was susceptible of what possibly could be overcoming circumstances if he were to fail in trying to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Now, another thing I want us to note quickly is that he explains that he is in need of prayer so that he might proclaim or make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, the term mystery here is not used in the sense that we would traditionally use it today, such as a mystery novel or a movie that is of a mysterious nature. In the scriptures, it is used of something that at one time had been concealed or not widely known, but now has been revealed. The Old Testament scriptures spoke a great deal about the coming of Messiah. There were the various prophecies, the types and shadows. But it was not a full revelation. It was not until the coming of Jesus Christ that we have this full revelation of the gospel. And so with the coming of Christ, the good news is now being made known, even as we speak at this moment. It is still being made known in some way, either in the continuing teaching of Scripture or to those who are hearing the gospel for the first time. Making known the gospel was a central part of who Paul was, not only as a Christian, but as an apostle. And in many ways, for us as Christians today, that same mandate applies to us. We are to be witnesses. We are to share the gospel. The principal mission of the church involves the advancing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the continual proclamation of those that are a part of the local fellowship, as well as evangelistically in our communities and in terms of missions, as God may lead us to proclaim the gospel to various people groups of the world. The essence of that mission has not stopped. We are to make known the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So in that light, we have this twofold request. Now, let's begin to look at the first one. First of all, Paul asks that prayer be made for him to have the right words. Now, I want you to notice in verse 19, Paul says, "And for me," that is, as he addresses the issue of prayer, "that prayer be made for him," and he says, "that utterance may be given to me." Now, the term utterance in the Greek language is the word logos, a very familiar term. In a technical sense, it is used to reference Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Word that was made flesh and who dwelt among us. But in the ordinary sense, it means to speak or intelligence. It is used to describe the words that are used as the expression of intelligence. The opposite would be that which is unintelligent, that which is just a noise or a sound. Now, you and I sometimes hear noises, and as we look around, we're sort of baffled because we don't know what those noises are, what they mean. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm driving and I begin to hear noises in my engine or in certain parts of the car, that tends to concern me because I haven't heard those noises before. And when you hear something like that, you don't know what it is. You don't know what it means. It could be something that eventually will be very expensive, or it might be something easy to fix. But at that point, it's unintelligent. You don't know what it means. Sometimes you may be trying to speak to someone. Maybe you've got a bad connection on a cell phone, and you cannot hear clearly what is being spoken. All you can hear is what sounds like garbled up words. Now, the idea of logos here speaks of intelligent expression. It is to speak in an articulate way. And so what Paul is asking for is very simply that he might have the right words to express his message about Jesus Christ, the gospel. Now, more than likely, you've been in those situations where you ask that you might have the wisdom to say the right things in a particular situation. Because, you know, the circumstance was of such a nature that if you said something wrong, that it could disrupt everything about the conversation and somebody would get the wrong idea they would get the wrong message. And you wanted to be very careful to make sure that what you said was clearly understood. Now, I don't think Paul is praying for oratorical skills. I believe that he is praying that as he speaks, that he would have the ability to use the best possible words in a way that is easiest to be understood. Because the gospel may not mean a whole lot if we do not articulate it in the right way. In a lot of ways, the gospel is a very simple message. But even in that, we want to make sure that we present it correctly. So Paul prays that he would have the right words. Now, this is balanced by the second thing that Paul asked for. Paul asked that prayer be made for him to have boldness. It's not that he would just simply have the right words. Now, that's important. But having the right words doesn't mean a whole lot if we don't follow through with boldness to actually say them or to proclaim them to others. There's a lot of Christians, I think, that have the right words. They have the right message. They have a very clear understanding of what the gospel is all about. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. The problem is that they do not follow through with the point of actually sharing the message with someone else. So Paul asks that prayer be made for him to have boldness. Now, there are two things that stand out here in this request, and that has to do with Paul's position and Paul's circumstances. First of all, Paul's request, his prayer for him to have boldness, is directly linked to his position as an ambassador. This is how Paul describes himself. Notice he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador." Now here, Paul seems to be making a connection between his position as an apostle, an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ. There is a responsibility that is made between his position and his responsibility. Now, most all of us know something about job responsibilities. If you answer an ad for a job, one of the first things you want to know is, what am I responsible to do? What does this job require of me? What are my duties? What are my responsibilities? And for Paul, the principal responsibility that he had was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes when it comes to our job responsibilities, there are some that we love, we enjoy, and usually there are some that we're not as fond of. There are some that we wish were not part of our job requirements, but yet they are. For example, if you work in human resources, you might have the opportunity to be involved in the hiring process. But you also may have to be involved in the firing process. Now, hiring people would probably be a lot easier than firing people. And so some people may have a drudgery about going to a person and letting them know that they've been let go, they've been fired. Their services are no longer needed or required. You know, this person may be a good person. They may be a good worker. It may not be because they have performed poorly. It may be that the company is cutting back, or maybe a certain job is being eliminated. And so to go up to someone that may have a family and may have financial obligations and to tell them that they're fired can be very intimidating to the person that's required to do that. Now again, as an apostle, Paul has a primary responsibility to proclaim the gospel. And as I noted earlier, this is something that is still true for believers. Every believer has not only the privilege, but the responsibility to continue in the sharing, the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some that may do that, and I hate to use the term professional, but there are some that are pastors, teachers, that we might expect more from them along these lines. But again, the idea of sharing Christ is something that is applicable for all Christians. This is one of the job requirements. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that Paul prays for boldness, not only because of his position as an ambassador, but also because of his circumstances. I want you to notice again how Paul writes, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, and notice this phrase, in chains, that in it, and I understand that to mean in chains, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So it's not simply that Paul prays to have the right words to speak the gospel, and it's not simply that he prays that he might have boldness in proclaiming the gospel. He wants the right words. He wants boldness because it's a major part of his responsibility as an ambassador, as an apostle. He is representing Christ in a very unique capacity here. But I think what trumps all of this is that he prays this way because of his circumstances. He is an ambassador, but he is an ambassador in chains. He is imprisoned. This letter to the Ephesians is part of what we call the prison epistles. And it's called that because Paul, while under Roman imprisonment, wrote several different letters. He wrote them while he was in chains, while he was in custody. And so he was in chains as a result of faithfully executing his privilege and his responsibility of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he prays that he might have boldness to speak the gospel as he ought to speak it. Now, the thing that we need to keep in mind here, as we noted earlier, Paul, a great man of God, but yet a man who had suffered greatly. And a lot of us, in our own circumstances today, find ourselves quite often easily intimidated when it comes to sharing the gospel. I can testify that one of the most frightening things about being a Christian is thinking about talking to someone that you don't know, you've never met, but with an impression by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you need to go to talk to them and talk to them in some way about Jesus Christ. Sharing your faith, being a witness, evangelizing, can be very intimidating. I don't know this person. They look maybe kind of rough. What are they going to do? What are they going to say? Are they going to laugh at me? Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to yell at me, embarrass me in front of people? Would they physically assault me? I mean, this has happened. It's happened historically. It happens today. There's a lot of things that can happen. Now, Paul here is already suffering the consequences, at least to some extent, of sharing the message of Jesus Christ. He is in prison. And again, from the natural perspective, Our response may be to change the message somewhat, to water it down, maybe to change some things about it, to make it a little more acceptable so that it won't be so offensive. And maybe Paul is aware of that, that in his tiredness, in his pain and suffering, he might be tempted to change or to water down the gospel so that it's not presented clearly, so that it might be presented falsely. But to change it to make things easier for himself. And so he prays for boldness that he might speak boldly the mystery of the gospel as it should be spoken. Now the reality is that even in today's, quote, Christian culture, there's a lot of people who stand before Christians and they don't preach the gospel. There's also people that are in chains, they are imprisoned, they're persecuted, and they do preach the gospel. And they preach it as it ought to be presented, in clarity and in boldness. You don't have to wonder or guess what they're talking about. Their message is clear. Isn't it ironic that in the United States, where we have so much freedom, that so many preach a false gospel? They don't preach Jesus. They preach self-help. They preach the health and wealth gospel. They preach financial gain. And then there are those that are facing all kinds of adversity, and they preach the truth, even while being persecuted. Even while being beaten, they remain firm to the message. Now, I don't mean to be critical along these lines as if I've got it all covered, because I have to confess, under those circumstances, I don't know what I would do. I know what I would want to do, what I would hope to do, but I don't know. Facing imprisonment, facing physical persecution, facing a hostile audience that has guns pointed to me? I don't know. I pray that I would be found faithful and would have the courage to continue to speak the truth, regardless. And again, it seems so powerful to underscore here that as great a man as Paul was, that he was conscious of his need along these lines. That there's no air of superiority over these believers. But there is a simple, passionate plea that in light of the spiritual warfare, in light of these various components of the gospel armor, in light of prayer to energize these various parts of the gospel armor, that he would turn to himself and say, and for me, pray for me. He includes himself in a very unique way, right alongside of them. I need your prayers. In fact, this is something that we need to keep in mind, is that we should always be in prayer for each other. And specifically those that we have inside knowledge to, that need prayer so that they can stand and boldly and accurately share the gospel. We should pray this for each other because we have opportunities, most of the time quite literally daily, in our families, in our workplace, out in the public, our neighbors, someone that's walking down the street. You never know when God will present with you an opportunity to share the gospel, to give a witness of Jesus Christ. And so we should pray for each other, Lord, wherever your people are. And again, if we know specifically, bless this brother, this sister, as they began to share the gospel. Give them the right words to say. Give them boldness to be able to speak the truth. I mean, we know that not everybody is going to respond in a positive way. They didn't in the time of Christ. They crucified Christ. They stoned the Apostle Paul. They killed Christians. So we need to pray that we might have the right words to say and that we might have the boldness to share the glorious message of Jesus Christ. For that end, we pray. And until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.